itself, we go to the packet itself, and the sugi itself of light and Avram. So, you know what? Someone gave it to me many years ago. I have no clue. The pasuk states, okay, we're like the third paragraph in. The pasuk says, "Vayelach Avram kasher diba elav Hashem, vayelach ito lot." So the Medrash says, "Shehaya lot tufel lo." That's the critical piece here. When Lot first tagged along with Avram, that's a great word. Tagged along, vayelach ito lo. When somebody tags along, that suggests that he's simply coming along for the ride, that he is not, he's subordinate to, that Lot was subordinate to Avram. The Zohar indicates, where's your packet? So why'd you go out?
To get it.
You just walked in without the packet, didn't you?
No, I just brought it in.
Of course, I saw it on your desk, okay. The Zohar indicates that Lot became a protege of Avram, volitionally means on his own, somehow sensing the greatness of his personality and desiring to learn from it and to cling to him. So Lot was attracted to Avraham. Lot, where are you going?
Mike's in here.
So why did you go out there?
Since it's not in my bag, then it's in
my bag. Gee, why is that surprising?
It's just people take my stuff.
Yeah, it's always your stuff.
Yeah. People are after
me. Like, you know the scary part is you really believe. That's the scary part.
I truly believe.
I know.
People are after me.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Every day you don't have it, you lose 5 points. You get that? I don't care what you do. Surgically put it against your pen. I don't care what you do. I'm not going through this every single day. It's absurd.
Okay.
Gosh. So... So the Zohar says that Lot was attracted to Avram's greatness, and therefore he saw himself as tufel to Avram. And the psukim continue: Va'yikach Avram asari ishtoi ve'es Lot ben Achiv ve'es kavachusham asher rachashu. What does that mean? We saw this pasuk inside. Avram took Sarah and Lot. He took, right? Who's ben Achiv? So. And Torah says, "Vayal Avram Mitzrayim, who vishtav v'chazov v'loit imoy," and Lot was with him. Again, in all these cases, it's Lot being subordinate to Avram. All these psukim suggest that while they were originally traveling, Lot felt subordinate to Avram. And Avram went up from Mitzrayim with his wife. Okay, already we can detect in the nuance of the pasuk that Lot is beginning to surface as an autonomous personality. However, someplace along the way, we see Lot beginning to assert his own identity. What do you see? Gam l'Lot ha'holichas Avraham ha'yitzom. So that already is, again, let's look at the psukim inside, see what I'm talking about. If you'll appreciate the psukim. Again, so if you look at the beginning of Lech Lecha, right, it says, Pasuk Dalet. Beginning Lech Lepergi Beis Dalet, let me look inside. Vayelach Avraham kasher diber elav Hashem vayelach ito Lot. Clearly, Lot's subordinate. Pasuk Hey. Vayelach Avram Asari. Avram is the one in charge of Lot. He takes Lot. He's in charge of Lot. Again, subordinate. Alright? And then later when it says, let's go back. And Perigi Gimel again. Vayal Avram and Mitzrayim Huvi Ishtav Chol Ashalo Velot Imo. Again, subordinate position. However, all of a sudden, a little subtle shift. Shlishi begins the words Vegam Lot Holech as Avram. Lot is now a Holech with Avram. He's like on par with Avram. We're beginning to see Lot asserting his own identity a little bit. All right. And obviously, as soon as that happens, there's a flare up. All of a sudden, now there's already machlokes between Avram and Lot. And Lot shepherds Avram, right? So as soon as Lot starts asserting himself, and he's not makabel from Avram, he says, what do you mean? I hold that my sheep can graze on these people's property because it really belonged to me, eventually. It's not really your neighbor. You see, he's starting to assert himself. Right? Suddenly, the Torah records an abrupt shift in their relationship. The source of this rift was, says Rashi, in the unscrupulous actions of thievery exhibited by the herdsmen of Lot. This unprincipled behavior demonstrated Lot's spiritual growth was somewhat stunted, for he had not disciplined his herdsmen. The fact that you see, it's interesting, the crack in the fissure, that you see something going wrong, not with Lot himself first. First, it's much more subtle. First, it's with his shepherds. You don't see him really involved in Geneva, but you know what? Everything starts at the top. The fact that they felt comfortable stealing for Lot means that somewhat Lot must have conveyed that. So, while Lot himself may not have violated Geneva, he might have hinted, that's okay. So in Lot's mind, he hasn't committed Geneva yet. Yet, the message, maybe the not so subtle message, it's okay. It's eventually all in my mind anyway. So, again, we see this idea that, you know, when we do things wrong, we don't go from, you know, doing nothing wrong to everything wrong one moment. It creeps up on us. And with Lot, too, it was a slow, subtle change, where now he's, you know, kind of wink-wink when his shepherds are doing some stealing. And from that, Avram understands already that now there's going to be a dispute between him and Lot. He realizes, even though it looks like it's a dispute between his shepherds and Lot's shepherds, but Avram recognizes it's coming from the top. That Lot himself, that Lot, just smash it. Just hit it.
Smash it, little boy.
That Lot himself is going to be an issue. So Avram says to Lot, let there be no machlokes between you. Now, what seems to be a fracas that exhausts itself in a monetary dispute looms much larger according to the Zohar. Okay, so look, it looks like, okay, they're having a monetary dispute. Lot says it's okay to take a nibble from other people's grass, it'll be mine. Avram shepherds, no, it isn't. The Zohar says, no, don't think this is time a quibble about some food that should or should not have been taken. Says the Zohar, that Lot was a person who only superficially and cosmetically absorbed the noble values of a character. Essentially, he was still anchored in the idolatrous roots of his past. Alright? So the Zohar is telling us that Lot was at best a klipa. He was a shell. On the outside, he looked like Avram. And if you recall, Rashi said, when Avram says to Lot, let's part company because we're brothers, Rashi says because they looked alike. It means superficially they looked alike. Because Lot acted like Avram. But you know what? He really wasn't Avram. He was only on the outside, not on the inside. So on the inside he was corrupt. On the outside he acted a certain way. It was just a matter of time before the inside took over the outside. And the word Lot, I don't know if we discussed this yet, the word Lot comes from the word Lyat. You know what Lyat means?
Case.
What?
Curse.
What's that? Who said that? How do you know that? What?
Abai. I think we did that already.
You did it right?
Yeah,
Lion means curse. Curse is that on the... What's a curse? Okay, curse is something that on the inside is... What?
No continuity.
No continuity? It's because it's an empty shell. A curse is when on the outside it might present itself, but deep down it's rotten at its core. Lot was empty. He was really empty. It was a keli. He was superficial at best. That's called empty. There was nothing inside of substance.
Why would his parents name him then?
Well, okay. So it happens to be that that's a good question. That a lot of these names, we see Gemara Darshan's, this name, that name, Lav Dafka, the person naming him, understood that was his name. But the Gemara says even that, even today, when parents name a child, Nizrugabam Ruach HaKodesh, there's a little Ruach HaKodesh that enters them when they give that name. And what that means is that unbeknownst to them, Hashem putting a little, you know, voice in the head to name that name. So they may be thinking to name that name for another reason, but it has a deeper meaning that really represents who he is. So Lav Dafka, his parents saying, oh, you're a curse. Obviously, that's not what happened. But Hashem planted in their head that they should use that name. And they had all, in their conscious mind, they were thinking another reason. But Chazal say, even today, when children name that name people a certain way, I can't tell how many stories I heard where somebody named a certain person, only discovered later, oh, I think that was Bubby's name. I don't know, right? And sometimes they mamish hit upon it. So the name sometimes comes that way. Okay. Look at the Zohar, the bottom page. Kivin the Yoda Avraham, the Loit Lahachi Nati Lebay. Since Avram knew that Loit was Naita, his heart that way, Miyad Vayomer, he put him all like. Once Avram detected that in Loit's heart of hearts, he really was not buying into the stuff, he said, you know what? He separate. Ant Kadoy Lishaber Badoy. Kedin Isparish, Kedin Isparish Avine, Beloy Boy Lamahach Lishaber Mine. The Kolman. Here, look like the Choman, the Mechaber, the Schaber, the Chayva, Seifel, the Mach, Abbas, the Anas, Beginne. Let's see the English, the Zohar. Since Avram saw the inclination of Lot, immediately said, please separate me because I cannot associate with you. Then Avram detached himself from Lot and did not want to travel and join him. For whomever is attached to a wicked person will ultimately follow in his footsteps and be punished because of him. So at this point, Avram says, I got to separate because I'm with you. I'm going to be impacted by you. The great Avraham was concerned that he would be impacted somewhat by Lot. That's an incredible thing, guys. When we think, nah, I can have this friend, I can have that friend, they won't impact me. If Avram is afraid of the influence of Lot, then we certainly have a right to be afraid of the wrong kind of friendships. The Zohar has categorized Lot as someone whose spiritual maturation was truncated and deficient. He had absorbed residually from his uncle's, now by the way, this guy has a great vocabulary, from his uncle's Kokopoyo, I can pronounce Kornokopia, which by the way is not a word that's, I don't know if he's even in the dictionary anymore, of spiritual treasures, what?
It's like the horn of plenty.
Yeah, but we don't use it. Of spiritual treasures, but had not succeeded in establishing a solid beachhead of values. In other words, he had absorbed residually from the great, beautiful values of Avram, but he never established a solid beachhead that would protect him when confronted by the lures and enticements of surroundings. Due to his lack of solid grounding, he was prone to momentary acts of depravity and giving vent to his unfettered passions. Avram was in a quandary and torn between his paternalistic sense of responsibility for his orphan nephew and his ethical conscience, which could not countenance any moral decadence. Yeah, that's so. Avram is conflicted with a dilemma. I care about my nephew. In fact, Nipsarch al Tasali means you have even more responsibility to a family member. So Avram felt perhaps even more responsibility, filial responsibility, because he was a nephew, and as he mentioned, an orphan nephew. And at the other end, ethically, he couldn't countenance the fact that I'm going to be part of an entourage that steals. But with that, the Torah vindicates Avram's decision. Lot raised his eyes and saw the entire plain of the Yarden, that it was well watered everywhere. Now what does it mean it was well watered everywhere? Says the Medrash, Rashi quotes this, the entire Pasuk is a Lashon of Erva. In other words, we say Kikula Mashka, because by the way, Mayim is represents Taiva. Alpha represents depression, Mayim is Taiva, fire is Kas. Ruach is ego. The Zohar talks about, Kabbalah talks about that each one of the four elements represents a certain midah, but Mayim is Taiva. Alright, anyway, so it says Kulei Mashke, that means he was attracted to some. Why? Kula Taiva. That's what he's attracted. Lot chose to become a denizen of the corrupt city of Sodom. Had Lot been a truly ethical personality who followed in the footsteps of his mentor Avram, he could not have settled into this licentious city of Sodom. Lot reconciled himself to the vice of Sodom and thereby cast himself adrift and severed his ties with a pantheon of biblical heroes whom we revere. A little hyperbole over here, but okay. Lot's inherent nature emerged quickly. So listen what happens, guys. Listen to this. And if you listen to what Ravaran said, the mushal he uses is a very important mushal. If you want to prevent the Yitzhar from acting up on you, you got to stop while you're on top of that mountain before it builds a momentum. Because once it builds a momentum and the Yitzhar snowballs, it's almost impossible to stop that rolling down the hill momentum, you know, snowball. Lot, as soon as the floodgates open, and he says, okay, first do a little Geneva, right? And then he says, I'm going to choose Sodom, Kulamashka. At that point, he's let the floodgates of Yisrael have. What's the next pasuk say? Vayisa Lot Mikedem. We learned this Rashi already. And Lo journeyed from the east. Rashi says from this, Hisia atzmai mikadmayna shel oilam. He now says, I'm leaving the kadman of the world. I'm leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar I efshi loy ba Avram. I don't want anything to do with Avram. And I want nothing to do with his God. That's it. It's his God. That's it. No more Lord, my God. It's Avram God. Right? So look how the floodgates open. As soon as he allowed himself that momentary lapse of Geneva, he should have stopped right there. He said, whoa, I allowed a Geneva? Stop. Make Gedarim. If you don't stop and make Gedarim when you see that momentary lapse and you let it go, that starts snowballing. Snowballing, choose a stone, choose the most licentious city, the most, you know, lustful city. Right? Does that? 2 months later, ready, he's already rejecting Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let the cat out of the bag, and boom. A concomitant feature of that estrangement of Avram was divine revelation to Avram. The pasuk says, "Vashem Amar Avram, Achari Parlitmo." Okay, this is what we saw now. Hashem said to Avram. Now this is now a quote. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas b'shem Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra ra kama kipach leit haroshes Avram. Had Sadik ben Adibra, she calls Masha a light, Dovik, Laisiach, Hezbarach, Mavram, Kibbutz, Apirish, light, Kofat, Sadibra, Shal Avram. So Rashi only excerpts the last part of this Medrash, that since it says in the Pasuk, Hashem spoke to Avram after Lot left him, or after he separated from Lot, rather. So Hashem, Rashi's Medayik, that implies that while Lot was with him, he didn't speak to him, right? That's Rashi. So Rashi just quotes that Kibbutz Shapirish Lot covers the Ibrahim Avram. I'm actually quotes the last line of the Medrash. He doesn't quote the first part, but the first part says, look how terrible this Lot Rashi was for Avram. That as long as he's with him, Hashem didn't speak to him. Okay. He says, the wicked Lot robbed Avraham from a divine experience, from Hashem experience. Right? Yet, now this is his own editorial here, not based on the Medrash. Lot had not spent all that time with Avram for nothing. And you know everyone's example? When one enters a perfumery, even for fleeting moments, a residual fragrance clings to you, right? Clearly, being with Avram left him with some sort of fragrance. And we'll see that in a bizarre way, Lot conducts himself a little bit like Avram in the city's dome. In fact, that's why they make him chief judge in Sodom. So there is a residual. But again, a residual is something very dangerous when the core is rotten, because for care, then you could take the rotten core and abuse and twist that residual as well. In Perik Yedalid, the Torah narrates the cataclysmic and epic battle between the four and five kings. In the aftermath of that struggle, the Torah describes that only human captives, aside from the Gargantuan Bodhi, was Lot. The verse clearly underscores Vayichu es Lot v'esrchushoi ben Achi Avram v'yelchuhu v'yoshev es dom. And they capture, next page, Lot and his possessions, Avram's nephew, and they left, for he was residing in Sodom. In Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, that we'll see there was an underlying conspiracy for this kidnapping. It says they took, the four kings took all the possessions of the five kings, and Lot, who was nephew of Avram. Bo Elov Amruffel v'chal chaver of Lahargor. Amruffel and his cohorts came to kill him. Amru, they said, Naschel Rishon b'min Achiv. The Achan Naschel boy. They said, let's begin with his nephew and then with him. We'll start with his nephews and then with him. So because of Lot, they took all the possessions of Sodom, and then they took Lot and his possessions. In other words, taking Lot was their way of getting back at Avram, and eventually limiting Avram. Lot was captured solely because of his connection to Avram. It is rather astounding that Lot, who just a short while ago rejects Avram and his God and settles into the ethically blighted city of Sodom, still mirrored the teaching of Avram. That he said they became a prime target in their efforts to limit Avram. You see what's going on? They still saw vestiges of Avram and Lot. And they kidnapped Lot because they wanted to get at Avram. If Lot had totally 1,000% rejected Avram, they wouldn't see Lot as a way of getting Avram. Right? So that means that even though Lot had categorically rejected Avram, there must have been some perfume residual, so to speak, that reminded everyone that he was Lot's nephew. He was Avram's nephew. Alright? Okay. Now, this guy is like, the redolence of values asthmatically absorbed in the base Avram surfaced on that day. That Lot was appointed, as I said, the chief magistrate of Sdom. The Torah testifies, Lot Yoshev Bishar, Sdom, V'yar Lot, V'yakal Krasim. Lot was sitting at the gate because Lot was now given that highest priority appointment. So either they saw in him something. Alright? The Medrash Tanchuma senses the overarching presence of his uncle Avram. Shalom and Maisav Avram. Because it says, which we haven't learned yet, that when Lot is sitting at the head of the gate, because he's a judge, he sees these two malachim coming towards him. And he runs to greet them. And Chazal say, oh, he learned that from Avram. Just like Avram and Vayera, we'll see, runs to greet his guests. So Lot learned from Avram to greet guests. Right? So you see that somehow some residual remain with Avram. Alright? Just Avram, he invited to his home. Here is a portrait of the matriarch of a corrupt and decadent society, still somewhat tethered to the chesed of his mentor Avram that lingers long after his departure from the house of Avram. This chesed was tainted and misguided, as evidenced by his eagerness to throw his daughters to the pashious hordes of Sdom in order to save his guests from harm. In other words, he had chesed, but Mary told you, chesed, if you're a corrupt person, you could twist chesed also. And what did he do? This is twisted chesed. In order to save his guests, he says, okay, I'll offer my daughters to you. Is that twisted chesed? I'm going to offer you my daughters so I can take care of my guests. That's twisted chesed. Because if you're a twisted individual, then that, at the core, your twistedness will twist your chesed too. You know what's going on? He's twisted and twisted his chesed. Also, by the way, that's one explanation, that his twistedness led him to twist his chesed. But also, in general, chesed, or corruption of chesed, is connected to znus. You all know this, right? When the Torah goes through all the 15 arayas, it says, you can't live with this woman, ki ervi. You can't live with this woman, ki zimu. And you can't live with this woman, ki chesedu. Ki chesedu, that's why you can't live with this woman. So Rav Futner explains that, I'm sure it's based on Kabbalah, that in a sense, all immorality is twisted chesed. You think you're giving to that person? Nah, you've been taking yourself. It's an indulgent self-pleasure. So it's a twisted version of chesed. It comes from the fact you think you're giving, and you're really just taking for yourself. So every znus is a meister chesed in a twisted version. It's in your mind you're giving, and it's not. You're just taking for yourself, and it's a twisted chesed. Alright? So here, Lot's twisted chesed allows him to offer his daughters that these strangers can do whatever they want with him. Alright? Ma osa loit, kishem shenosa Moshe Rabbeinu nafsha al Yisrael, kach mazlasha aleihem. What did Lot do? Just as Moshe Rabbeinu gave his life to Jewish people, so too Lot gave his life for them. Unbelievable. The Zohar is saying, he's comparing. Moshe Rabbeinu gave his life for Klal Yisrael. Lot was willing to give his life for these guests. It's unbelievable. This Lot is incredible. Indeed, Lot displays uninhibited chesed, and yet grotesque and bizarre in nature, but nevertheless chesed, that invokes the faint silhouette of Avram. No, if you ask Lot, who are you? You could, what do you want to be? He'll tell you, I want to be Rav Shiva. He'll tell you, I want to be a disco dancer. The man was a guy, his desires were all over the place. Part of him said, I want to be great. I want to be Rav Shiva. Part of him said, are you kidding? I want to lie in the gutter of Znus. Both. That's who Lot was. He was a person that had never reconciled who he really was. He wanted to play the field. He wanted to be both. He wanted to have his cake and eat it. He saw the value and the greatness of Avram, but he wasn't going to buy into the sacrifice. So on his own terms, he'll do chesed. But not at the expense of his own personal self-indulgence. He never made a commitment to be the person he should be, and therefore he just shifted back and forth. It never became real. It never became part of him. He just did it superficially when it benefited him to feel good. Oh, it probably fed his ego that he could act like Avram. It fed his ego when people say, oh, you must be the nephew of Avram, because when I see you, I see Avram. It fed his ego. and he felt he was doing the right thing. At the same time, clearly was totally twisted. How does Torah conclude the parasha of Lot? We know the story of Lot, which we'll get to later on, when Lot is eventually saved in the city of Sodom, and now he's left alone with his two daughters. They ply him with wine, right? And they have this with him. Chazal say, Hilut achar bulma shal arayis l'sot machilas mibasroi. One who is possessed of a sexual appetite is ultimately compelled to consume of his own flesh. In other words, that because Lot was somebody, we haven't gotten to the story yet of Lot and his daughters. On the one hand, it brings about Maisa Mashiach. On the other hand, it's the most disgusting, repugnant story you can read. And Chazal say, you know what? It's Lot's own doing. The fact that he chose to live his life as Nus, therefore, his own progeny comes out through his Nus as well. And he's forced to eat his own flesh, to consume his own flesh. What does that mean? That his own daughter, right? He's consuming his own daughter, so to speak. He's living his own daughter. And so that's an ultimate Maisa's Nus. It's an ultimate Maisa's Nus. And that's because he himself was full of Nus. Based on this mention, I want to share with you an interesting, we're kind of jumping ahead, but I'll say it now, I'll say it then also. Remember I told you that we just said Lot was empty, right? And that we couldn't produce? So you know what? His children really weren't producing. He didn't produce them. You know what he did? He just made a carbon copy of himself. What's going on? He didn't produce children. This was, right? The living with his daughter to have a child is not producing, that's not Paris. That's simply producing yourself. That's simply carbon copying yourself. You follow? He didn't produce, because he couldn't produce. Because you only can produce if you're bracha. He was empty at the core. So he couldn't be a producer. He couldn't give forth more continuity. This is not continuity. This is simply reproducing himself.
Why did he marry
Mashiach?
Why did he marry?
We'll get there. That's we have to say that thing. All right? The Ben Achi Avram, the nephew of Avram who accompanies Avram and displayed isolated moments of greatness of his master, descends to the abyss of an incestuous relationship. Chazal, in their profound vision, detect here the motivation of Chesed that impelled the daughters of Lot. Chazal say that the daughters of Lot were motivated by Chesed. We'll get there later on, not Parsha now. But overshadowing the seemingly revolting act, hidden from the finite human gaze, was the divine blueprint that etched the footprints of Melech HaMashiach. The Zohar comments, Ma choma Avram l'davkei milayit, el begin the tzavar chodesh tzamalek minei David. The Zohar says, why did Avram decide to let Lot join him? Because he saw in a prophetic vision that David was going to come from Lot. It's unbelievable. So Avram sees in Lot a seed that's going to bring about Mashiach. And therefore he says, I have to work with him. At the same time, we'll see that because he was all Znus on the outside, Mashiach comes about in this horrible way as well, and we'll discuss more why it has come that way. Okay. That's the story. Now, the Lot and his daughters, we're not going to deal with now. That's a whole different parasha. But now, based on what we just learned, he's going to develop a number of fundamental principles emerge from the examination of the Odyssey of page 8. Avram and Lot, if you will, a Shulchan Aruch of Hilchas Kir Rechokim. Again, he's using it for Shulchan Kir Rechokim, maybe he was in Kir himself, I have no idea. But like I said, this doesn't just apply to Kir Rechokim, it's Kir of Krovim too. It doesn't have to be somebody who's not from, but anybody who feels off the derech, or anybody who feels not doing the right thing, how do you deal with that person and not get burnt yourself? Number one, I'm going to go through, I think he goes through a whole bunch of things that are very important. Number one, Avram was willing to forgo the divine presence in order to bring another Jew closer to him, to Derech Hashem. Right? Avram knew, as soon, he was no dummy, he had, Hashem didn't speak to him, so as long as Avram was, as Lot was with him. So Avram gave up the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring another Jew closer. Prima facie, this sacrificial act on Avram's part is in direct conflict with the halachic postulate of the Talmud. The pasuk says, Chayecha Kaidmin. We know the Gemara says that your life comes before somebody else's life. So how could Avram sacrifice his own life for Lot? You hear what's going on, people? Question number one. Avram clearly gave up the opportunity to be with Hashem. All the time that Lot was with him, Hashem said, I'm not kink. I'm not kink. You're associated with your cohort with this Russia. Forget it. And how did Avram do that? Your life comes first. The Chazam Sofer, it is a commentary to Paras Kedoshim, queries whether in light of this aforementioned pasuk, one should be exempt of the mitzvah of Atra Kamecha. So he says, the Chazam Sofer, how do you reconcile Chayecha Kodem with Atra Kamecha? If the Gemara says Chayecha Kodem, so then shouldn't you be exempt from Atra Kamecha? How do you reconcile them both? This is the Chazam Sofer's answer, it's an incredible answer. Miyu. This is totally counter to what you guys would think. When it says Chayecha Kodem, everyone knows the case. What's the case of Chayecha Kodem? What happened? What's the case over there?
Desert.
The desert. With a question of who's going to physically live.
Water.
You have one cup of water, right? Who gets it? You get it. Says the Chazayfer, Chayecha Kodem is Allah in the physical world. In the Olam Hazeh, you take care of yourself first. You're not allowed to give up your life for his life. But in the Olam Hanischi, for the spirit, is this room cold or is this room cold?
It's cold. It's not cold as the room right next to this called this Medrash.
Yeah.
Bitter.
But anyway, but in the world of the Olam Hanischi, in the world of spirituality, look what he says. Chayiv lelamed l'acherim, you gotta take care of others first. Afilu hu mevatel atma milimudai. Become Malcolm Chayev Lil Maidem Acherim. Malkocham Rav Kiva Vakamecha Zek Klal Gadol B'Teira. Says the Chassam Sofer, when is this so? Chayecha Kodem. That's to the physical world. In the spiritual world, you mechuyev to teach your friend, even if you're not going to be able to learn yourself. Now, by the way, if you're absent now to the end of the year, you're going to turn out not be cursed, because we'll see that this is going to be modified in a few moments. But one second. But the Chassam Sofer, not only is it Yisoid is the Gepshad, it's beautiful. Look at the last line. The Alkein Omer Rabbi Kiva. Now the Chamecha Zed Klal Gadol B'Torah. What do you think that the Chassam Sofer means in that last line?
Kamocha.
No. The last line. Look at the last line of Chassam Sofer. What's he saying, guys? What's the chapters? What's he saying?
To bring somebody into Olam Haba, it's
what's the last line saying?
It's what you want.
No.
To give to your friend. It's a cloud of them, but type.
Meaning?
It's an important part of the Torah.
You got it, but
more. More.
The most important part.
Zek cloud, good. Zek cloud gadol b'Torah. The cloud gadol b'Torah. That's b'Torah. When it comes to Ruchli is b'Torah. Zek cloud. When Rabbi Kiva says Zek cloud gadol b'Torah, he's learning pshat. When it comes to Torah, that's the cloud gadol b'Torah. Unbelievable. That's something pshat. Now, by the way, when you think about it, because there's an obvious question. When Rabbi Kiva said v'adrach mazek cloud gadol b'Torah, Rabbi Kiva, I mean, listen. I learned Pasuk. I know it's about the Kamech. What are you telling me when he says that cloud is a little bit there? What are you telling me? What Rabbi Kiva is saying is that he just plagiarized. The Pasuk says about the Kamech. What do you say? Is that cloud is a little bit there? What are you telling me? Of course I know. It's a Pasuk of Chumash. No. According to Chassam Sofer, Zek Klal Gadol B'Torah. He's saying, this Klal of the Chumash is only a Klal in Torah. It's not a Klal in Gashmi. In Gashmi, Chayecha Kodem. The Torah is only said about the Chumash when it comes to Torah. Unbelievable. That's wild. You gotta be Chassam Sofer. Anybody else Chassam Sofer? Get stoned for this. This is unbelievable. But again, we're gonna modify what the Chassam Sofer meant. Alright? But he's saying that when it comes to Ruchnius, a person is Mechuyiv to sacrifice some of his or his Ruchnius for another. We'll see. We'll get there. Okay? Unbelievable. Avram had achieved the fundamental level of Hakara Savoyre. Of recognition of Baruch Hu, at that point, so this is what he sticks in. At that point in his spiritual growth, any further religious achievement would only strengthen and upgrade his development incrementally. His decision, therefore, to reach out and engage in an act of care was solidly grounded, even though ipso facto it cost him dearly. Perhaps an intimation of this notion is inherent in the celebrated Dilma Tachum. Okay, one second. So he's saying on his own, but we'll see later on it's not his own. He's saying the Chassam Sofer doesn't mean that you have to throw away your Ruchni to somebody else. It means once you have achieved a certain level of stability in Ruchnius, now we'll see where he got that. Once you've achieved a fundamental level of Ruchnius, and now you're going to grow incrementally to higher levels, you have to give up those higher levels for somebody else.
So what about,
now when you think about it, in a certain sense, every Rebbe, anyone's a Chinuch, he could spend all day learning to himself, and yet if he spends time with his Talmidim, now you could say my Talmidim, you could say in a certain sense, learning with others develops your growth also. Right? On the other hand, he's giving up his own time for his own personal growth. Right? So he's mechuyev to. He's mechuyev to do so. And he says, maybe, he says, you could learn this from the following phrase. In Vayera we say, G'doylach nasas urchem, make a bolas plan shechina, greater is the mitzvah of welcoming guests than greeting the shechina. What do you see that?
Thank you.
Okay, okay. You say maybe that's the medrash. It's better to receive guests than Kabbalah's plan Shechina. What do you see? That helping guests is better than Kabbalah's plan Shechina. Now, what he better mean then, otherwise it's a stira, is he has to mean that the Achmas Zarchim is not physical, but spiritual. Because if it's physical, right?
But
so,
how could it be?
One second. G'dayach Nasarachim means if you have the opportunity of Kabbalah's Plan Shechina, you have to give that for somebody else. Now, L'chayra has to mean, L'chayra, that you're giving up your Ruchnias for somebody else's Ruchnias. How do you like to give it your Ruchnias to someone's Gashmi? Well, let's figure this out. If you Mukhid to give up your Gashmi, if it's, no. Doesn't make sense.
You're
going to
have to give your
Ruchni.
Is it Kalmachomer?
No, it's not.
Mm.
No, because Gashmi's on the lower level.
Right. You can't say, if I'm going to give a Ruchni for someone else's Ruchni, I'm going to give a Ruchni for Gashmi. But how do you know that, right?
Well, it's the same thing. It's like it's a little bit farther down.
When we get to Vayera, I'm going to share with you guys. Guys, I'm going to share with you Vayera. Everyone knows that Avram was head of the hospitality committee, right? Everyone knows that, right? One second. So what happened? I invite you to his house. He said, "Ooh, have some food, sure." Thank you. No, don't thank me. Thank Hashem. Who's Hashem? Right? And then do his kira shtick, right? Yeah. So wasn't Avram manipulating the person? Wasn't this kind of manipulation? Come to my house for kiddush. We'll have some good time. We'll have some good food. And then when he got him in his house, oh, thank you for food. Well, don't thank me. Thank Hashem. Who's Hashem? Is that deceptive? Is that manipulative?
You're allowed to do it.
And maybe it even, you might say yes it is, but you're allowed to. Or you might say it's not. Right? So we'll see that tomorrow. Not tomorrow, we'll wait for Vayera.